I want to say again that my name is Christian, and I am a really thankful part of this group. I'm just a person who's a part of Outreach Red Bank. And for 2 months, leading up to this day, we've been looking at the Christmas story each week. And what we've done is look at the story that is told at Christmas from the perspective of the different people who are in it, from Mary's perspective, from Joseph's perspective. We looked at it from the shepherd's perspective and the perspective of the Magi and a man named Herod who was a king and another man named Simeon and Zechariah. We've done this over the last 7 weeks. But now this afternoon, we're going to look at it one last time together. But this time, we're not going to look at the perspective of any of those folks. We're going to look at the Christmas story and focus in on the one character that we haven't really talked about, Jesus. Now, in order to do this, you'll need to open a Bible and find your way to the first chapter of Matthew. And I know that there might need to be some sharing here, but please do that. And I want everyone to be able to look at this. So if there's not a Bible near you, try to look on with someone. In these Bibles that we've placed on the seats, you'll find what we're going to read together on page 783. In the first chapter of Matthew, in the 18th verse, this is where we're going to look together. And what I want you to do is to look at Jesus. Now, one thing before we read, I just give you this warning. He's still inside of Mary. So we're not going to learn anything from him by anything he says. Can't talk yet. And we're not going to learn anything about him by anything he really does because he's there inside. But what you must, all of us must do this, and I mean this, wherever you come from tonight, whether this is the only time you've come to church this year and you won't come again until next year, or whether you've been here every week, all of us, we should see what we can see here if we will look at Jesus. And what you need to do is pay attention to what is said about him. And then we're going to talk about that. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The first time I ever read those words in front of a group of people who were gathered together to celebrate Christmas, I was not in a church. We were not at a worship service, and I was not wearing a necktie. I was gathered in a basement of a house owned by a man called Lee. And there in that basement with me, there were a group of high school students. It was December 18th, 2003, Thursday evening, the Thursday before Christmas. In September of that year, I had started to meet in that basement with a small group of young adults, some of whom are here tonight. We met there because we wanted to teach the young people in the area that we would meet about Jesus. And so we started that fall with just 5 or 6 young students. And then we met a few more. And by Christmas time, there were maybe 20 or 30 or 40 of them. And we decided we would have a Christmas party. And we did. And on that night, December 18th, 2003, there were some students there who we had known, who I had met at the skate park, who we had met at shows. And there were some students that we had never met before because they had been invited to Orb's Christmas party, much in the same way as some of you here this afternoon have been invited. And they came into that room even though we'd never met them. We gave out the gifts, and we had a little gift exchange. And when that was done, I asked everybody to sit down because I told them that I wanted to read some words from a Christmas story. Everybody sat down. We were all packed together in that basement. Some of you who are here, you were there. Do you remember this? Before I opened the Bible to read those words, right as everybody was quiet, some footsteps came down the stairs. Then a girl that I'd never seen before came in, and she sort of made her way into the center of the group, and she sat there, and I looked at her. She seemed to be friendly. Have you ever seen a face like that? Someone who just is free. She smelled like patchouli and clove cigarettes. It was wonderful. She smiled with such a genuine look, and then she settled down, and I began to read these words that I just read. And as I read them, as I read along, once or twice as I was reading, I looked up, and you know, her eyes were the ones that were most full of wonder as I read. I assumed that maybe she had not heard the story before. When I finished reading, I directed everyone's attention back to what was said by the prophet about the baby Jesus. Back to verse 23. Go ahead and look at that right now. I asked all of those students in that room, I said, I want you to look at something with me. Look, they said that this baby was to be named Emmanuel because that means God is with us. And I said to them this. I said, what if it's true that this baby here is God with us? I saw her using her imagination as I asked that. I added, this is what I said, and I want you to do this for a moment. I said, put what you think about God out of your mind for a minute. If it's true that when we look at Jesus, even when he's a baby, we see who God is. If that's true, does this story tell us anything about God? I was silent. Guess who spoke first? That girl, she said this. She sort of looked around and said, well, I'm not religious. And I'm not sure what I believe about this Christianity stuff. But if it's true that this baby here is God with us, born to some poor parents in a manger without any power, well, I guess that would mean that God has gone pretty far to be with us. I got chills when I heard that. She said, He chose to make himself a baby? That's the most accessible thing there is. Everybody was silent and stunned. In the back of that crowd, there was another young man. He spoke up. He said, yeah. He was one of the kids that I had met at the skate park. Yeah, God could have come like in whatever form he wanted. He could have come as Arnold Schwarzenegger. But then the Bible would have been filled with push-ups and workout sessions. That wasn't quite as profound. Think of it. If this baby is God with us, if that's true, then it means that God has gone awfully far to be with us. Think of it like this. Maybe you've read some of the Bible. Maybe you started at the beginning one time and read a little of Genesis. There you would have read that God was the only thing that existed in the beginning. There was nothing else. Just a void. And then this God just opened his mouth and spoke, and with that, light was born out of the darkness. Then that God who was able to, out of nothing, create light that broke through the darkness and could not be overcome by it, that same God then spoke a word and the world existed. And then that God looked at that world and said, oceans, and there were oceans. Land, and there was land. Then he said the word mountains, and mountains were there. This God decided to cover that land with creatures. Fish, birds, cows, friendly beasts, unfriendly beasts. This God was able to cover that world with creatures and then made man and woman. That God held the stars in his hands. He made the sun and the moon come up and go down. He stretched out the sky like a tent. He holds the whole entire ocean like a bottle in his hands. And that God, we read at the Christmas story, chose to become a vulnerable baby in order to be with us. Do you see how far that is? Now, it's a good question to ask, why would God do that? Now, I know that in this room there are so many opinions about God, and I don't think that's so bad. I'm glad that you're all here tonight. And we have different ideas about who He is and so on. And some of us believe what the Bible says, and we're glad that we do. Others of us say we believe what it says, even though we have no idea what it says. Some of us have decided that the Bible is full of lies, even though we also don't have any idea what it says. But what I want every one of you to hear right now, without any question, is what the Bible says about that particular question. Why would God go that far to be with us? Now, you might not agree with it or believe it, but you should at least know what it says. And this is my Christmas present to every one of you. Don't expect anything else. The Bible answers that question, why would God come so far to be with us, with three words. He loves us. Do you know what it's like to be loved? Some of you don't, or at least you don't think you do. I'm going to give you a picture. Have you ever seen a father with a newborn son? Have you? Michelle and I, we have a new son. He was born last year in February. And when I look at him, I'm so full of love. I want to reach out and help him when he needs help. I want to take him and teach him how to walk. When he's hungry, I want to help give him what he needs. Not the way that Michelle can, but I want to help. I want to be with him. When I leave the house in the morning to come to work and I sit in my office, sometimes I think, I don't want to be here. And there's a reason why I don't want to be there. It's because I want to go back and be with my son because I love him. I know this won't always be true, perhaps in the same way. Maybe he'll grow up and be a real jerk. Now, you have to hear this. You absolutely have to hear this. The reason that God went so far to be with you is because when He looks at you, this is not something I dreamt up. This is what it says in the Bible. This is what God says about Himself. When He looks at you, what He sees is a son or a daughter who He loves in just that same way. When He looked at His people, Israel, when they were trapped in Egypt, maybe you know that story, that they were stuck in slavery in Egypt. When He looked at them, what He thought of was, this looks like my child trapped, and I don't like that because they're suffering, and I want to go and free them. And so you know what He did? He went and freed them. And the reason He did that is because He loved them. Then when He freed them from Egypt, they went into the desert, and God looked at these people and knew, He could see that they were about as proficient as living as an infant. He said they wandered around, and they didn't even know how to walk. Well, He bent down and picked them up and taught them how to walk. When they fell, He came to them and brushed them off and healed them and cleaned them up. When they were totally lost and had no idea where to go, He came to them and led them. And this is what the prophet says, with bands of human kindness, with cords of love. Picture this in your mind. I want every one of you to try to see this. Imagine a father who has had this newborn child and sees the child in need, walking over. Picture this, please. Bending down to that child, holding that small child, lifting him. And placing that infant against his cheek. Can you see the unconditional and amazing love that that father has for that baby? Can you see that? God says through Hosea, chapter 11, if you want to look at this another time. God says when He looks at you, that's what He wants to do. To hold you up against His cheek and to love you. At Christmas, when we look at this story where we're told that this baby should be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us, we are told that God went just this far to be with us because He loves us. Now, I mentioned that there might be a day where I and my love for my son are no longer adequate to fit what God is like because He might be a real stinker. You know what? We all are. And not just you or the people who aren't here all the time and all of us who are here, then we're not. No, all of us, including me, are real stinkers. See, if I stopped here and if you left thinking, well, God went really far because He was up in heaven and came down to be a baby, that far God went to be with us, then do you know what you would know about the distance that God traveled? You wouldn't even know half the distance that He actually has gone to be with you. Let me tell you why. Do you know the real reason for the distance between you and me and God? Some of you feel it very much so. When I'm talking about how much God loves you, you think, well, why can't I feel it? Why doesn't he ever lift me to his cheek? Why do I feel so alone in this world? Why is it so miserable around here? And that's a great question to ask. There is a distance between you and God and me and God. And the distance is not a matter of the fact that he's up in heaven somewhere and I'm down on earth here. No, there's another reason for the distance that exists between me and him. And when he became a baby on Christmas, the gap between people and God was not closed all the way. Because the real distance between us is the distance that is the result of the fact that I have chosen to walk away from God, who loves me like a good father. I've turned away from him like a disobedient son. And if you feel far away from God, it's because you have wandered away from him, not because he has wandered away from you. I want you to use your imagination again. Picture a child, a small child with his parents, who is on the edge of a gigantic and vast forest. And that child chooses to go away from his parents and wander deep into the woods, into a dark and frightening and dangerous forest. And that child keeps going further and further from his parents into the deep darkness of the woods and is terrified and is scared and is alone. That picture there is the picture that the Bible gives of each one of us when we wander away from God. In that very chapter in Hosea, where I talked about how God pictures himself as a father who loves his child, he says this: I called to Israel my son, yet the more that I called, the further they went away from me. And the truth about the real distance between you and me and God is that it's like that child lost in the woods, but there's one difference. No matter how hard we tried, we have less chance of finding our way back to God than an infant would of crawling its way all the way out of a deep, dark woods back to God. And the reason is put very simply in the scriptures. The thing that separates us from God is when we choose to go through life without him, turning away and trying to find our own path through life, which a lot of us do. And when we do that, we become lost like a child, alone, without our father. And there, listen now, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that any one of us can do to close that distance that we've put between ourselves and God. We are lost, and we need someone to find us. We are in the dark, and we need a light to come to show us the way. We are a mess, and we need somebody else to clean us off. We are in trouble, and we need to be saved. Now, there's one other thing that was said in this Christmas story that shows us the true distance that God went at Christmas time to be with us. Not only did he come down from heaven, and not only was he born as a baby to be with us, but look again, if you would, or listen to what the angel tells Joseph after saying that his wife will become pregnant. This is what the angel says to him in verse 21. This child, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The distance that God has come to be, not just with the people of the Bible, but with the people in this room, is the distance from heaven to earth, and we have to look beyond the Christmas story to see this, and then from this crib in this manger all the way to the cross. Now, I can't say tonight, I can't explain how this happens this afternoon. We don't have time. But I can say it with as much clarity as I can to you. You need to hear this. That in order to close the distance between you and himself, in Christ, God came into the world to save you from your sins. And the way he did that was to follow a path that ended in his own death in innocence so that he could free you and lift you to his cheek and love you like the child of his that you are, even when you wander away from him and turn yourself into an awful son or daughter. He never stops loving you. Because we read in the Bible that this death on the cross was not for Christ's friends. Do you know who it was for? His enemies. He died for those who would betray him. Why? Again, the answer is three words. He loves us. A few months after that gathering in the basement in 2003, it was beginning to be spring of 2004. Up until this point, Orb had never had a church service. And there was a church in Tinton Falls, really great church. It was called Grace Christian, and they're still there. They're a wonderful church. They said to us, listen, maybe it's time for you to come out of that basement and have a church service. You could talk about Jesus, and you could actually preach a sermon, Christian, and you could bring people there and do it. What do you think? I said, okay. And I thought, it's the first time I'm going to do this with this group. I want to give the best message I can. And what I thought of was this message here that I've just shared with you, that God loves you, and because of that, he gave his son to die for you. And I was so excited about giving this sermon. Some of you know I get really excited about things, right? My friends know that I can get head over heels excited about a cheesesteak or a hot dog. I was really excited. And the day was approaching for this service where I was going to talk about this story. And guess what happened? I didn't have a sermon yet in my mind. Now, those of you who are really close friends of me, you know that when that happens, I can't sleep at night. And I get anxious and worried, and it goes through my head over and over again. Well, I knew I wanted to talk about Jesus, but I didn't yet have the right thing to say on that evening. I knew I was searching in my mind for, what can I say? What can I have to come up with a good way to say this. And everything sounded the same, and everything didn't sound right. And the day approached, and it was now the day that it was going to come, and I was driving in my car from where my wife and I lived at that time, which was in Atlantic Highlands, into Tinton Falls, and I was on Tyndall Road. Some of you know where Tyndall Road is. Now I'm stressed out, so you know what I'm doing? I'm talking to myself in my car. But some of you have come early to church. Sometimes you see me, when I'm really like trying to grab my sermon, you see me up here, and I'm by myself, right? You've seen me do this? I was doing that in my car. This is before those little earpieces things. The people, I looked over someone next to me, they were just like... I started looking about for any form of distraction because I needed to get myself out of this rut. Maybe something would come to me. And then, as I was driving along, I was coming near High School North. Some of you are graduates of that school, or maybe even attendees. I looked at the school, I'm driving along, I look to the right, and then I see the perfect distraction for me. Some of you will know what I mean. Others will think I'm weird. I saw a gigantic pile of garbage. Are there any trash pickers here? Yes. It was just the kind you want to see. It was taller than you. It had all manner of trash. There were children's toys, puzzles. I could see that there was some old furniture, some new furniture. I think there's even some musical instruments. I mean, this was, home decor from various generations. This was like the ultimate pile of trash. And I see it. I look at my watch. I still got time before I get there. I quickly pull over to the center, and I stop my car, and I start to approach the pile. Now, the excitement that I'm feeling, some of you know what this is like, right? Where's Gavin? Is Gavin here? Right, Gav? Come on. Tell me if you've ever experienced this. As you're walking toward the pile, you notice that there's a sign posted on it. Someone has, on a piece of paper, written something and taped it to the pile, right? Now, at this point, it's either really good or really bad, because it might say, for sale, inquire inside. Or it might say, warning, treated with noxious chemicals. Or, this is what we all hope for, it might be a sign that says, for free. Now, I was not thinking about my sermon at this moment, and I was not thinking about trying to figure out how to tell people that Jesus loved them and died for them. I was just trying to score some sweet rubbish. And as I approached, I saw that it said on the sign, in capital letters, 4-3. Oh, I was so glad. I walked over, and I grabbed the sign, and I ripped it off. This is what it was taped to. It was taped to a picture, listen, of the meal, the last meal that Jesus ever had with his friends. And do you know who was sitting at that table, at that last meal with him? The guy, Judas, who would betray him with a kiss for a bag of silver and that would lead him to die on the cross. That guy was sitting at that table. The guy, Peter, who would deny him three times right to his face, right while he was there watching him, he was sitting at that meal. All of the disciples who refused to help out when someone had to wash feet, they were all sitting there. All of the disciples who fought about who was the best, who got it wrong, who didn't understand Jesus, they were all sitting at that meal. And then, at this dinner, what Jesus said to this group of guys is this. He said, later on, this weekend, I am going to die. He took some bread, like we're going to do in a little bit. He broke it, and he said, this is what's going to happen to my body. Then he took some wine, and he poured it out. He said, this is what's going to happen to my body. I am going to die on a cross, and the reason I'm going to do this, he didn't put it in these words, but this is what he meant. The reason I'm going to do this is because that's how much I want to be with you. Because the distance that was put between you and I and God was, first of all, greatly shortened when he was born a baby. But then it was finally closed when this man here, Jesus, went to the cross and died for our sins so that he could close the distance between us. And do you know what that costs us? What it costs you and me? Nothing. It's for free. Merry Christmas. All I want to do is pray and thank God for that. And pray also that that truth would sink into your heart and into your mind so that you would no longer go about through this world with the foolish thought that you don't matter, with the foolish thought that God doesn't care about you, with the wrong idea that he's far away, and with the delusion that he doesn't like you or care about you, but so that you would know deep inside he loves you. And then finally, so that you would pursue him, so that you would know the truth of this Christmas story. Let's pray together.